Now, this is kind of a mystery. It's not something you can easily grab hold of and say, ah, now I understand what my essential I-ness is. It's that, it's this, it's that, it's this. If it was a this or a that, well, then we would probably find it somewhere embedded in your brain. Maybe some researcher who's trying to figure out, you know, how to salvage that thing and take it out of your head and put it in another person's head, and that person then becomes you. And then we'd have all these science fiction movies like we do in which that kind of thing happens. But it isn't something which exists like that. It's got to be something else. It has to be something deeper, something that we can't grab hold of, something we really can't even manipulate, something, in fact, that may be the source of all the manipulations that we experience. It may be who and what we really are. And that got me thinking. Most so-called, quote-unquote, normal folk usually live under the illusion that when they use the word I, they are referring to some presence which is inside of the body. And they say, for example, I can feel my foot. I can feel my nose. I can feel my hand. I can feel the hot tea going down my gut. I can feel that my stomach is upset. I can feel this. I can feel that. I can sense this. I can smell that. I can hear this. And all that is associated with some kind of awareness. But is that awareness in the body? What happens, for example, if you lose half your brain? Does the half which gets lost contain you too? And if it does, well, then aren't you missing part of yourself? What happens when you get paralyzed? What happens when you lose control of an arm or a leg? Is that self, that you, also gone at the same time? Or is there something which seems to exist, seems to be connected to your body and your mind in some way, but yet is not anything in your body or your mind in any way? In other words, that part of you, that essential core of you, may not be the one that actually gets injured. The body may have got it injured. The relationship of how that mind or that essential self can get involved with moving the body, that may be transformed. Maybe you have a little bit of arthritis. Maybe you got a little bit of sinusitis. Maybe you've had polio and can't move one arm or one leg. But you, the essential self, the essential soul of you, the essential being of you, somehow is not involved in all that, even though it is involved in noticing that you can't do certain things as readily as maybe some other people do. Even though one suffers calamity, even though one suffers from a number of different things that could happen to the body, the essential self, the essential you, keeps going, keeps on trucking, and you are that essential self. Now, if you believe that, and I'm not asking you to believe anything, I don't want you to just believe it. If you have any sense of that, experience it, suss it out, intuit it, feel it, think it, sense it, whatever. If you get some indication of that that is going on in you, then there is a way in which that information, that sense, that feeling, that sussing out, whatever, intuiting, whatever you want to call it, can actually lead you into what will be for you a better life than you may presently be leading. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how little money you got. I don't care how crippled you are. I don't care how super strong and muscly you are. I don't care how sexy you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how dumb you are. I don't care how smart you are. There's something else going on that's an essential wisdom to you that is really at the core of everything you do. And if we can get in touch with that, then all those things that you have, your smartness, your dumbness, your laziness, your work ethic, your A rating, your B rating, your money, your houses, your lack of money, your lack of houses, your park bench where you sleep at night, or your mansion, whatever that is that you got going for you, that is going to be seen from a different point of view. That's not going to be the essential core of you. That's going to be the trappings of you. Or you might want to call it your life, your act this time around. So in answer to the questioner's question, what happens if I reincarnate? In a certain sense, nothing. You will still have the same experience, but it'll be filtered, put together, boiled into different kettles of fish, made differently, smell differently, look differently, but the essential you, that core you, will always be the same person. And so what we are going to look at now is what that person is and how that person works and how it relates to this thing we call ourself.